The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. First of all, thanks so much for everybody for your great support of Season 2. We've gotten so many nice comments so far, and we really, really love it. If you want to take it a step further and help out the Dental Practice Fixers, please go on iTunes and rate the podcast. Give us a 5-star, give us a nice review, an honest review. If your honest review is a 5-star, and you'll really, really be doing us a favor and helping us out. So again, thanks for all your great listenership. Today, it's a little unusual because Dave and I are in different locations. This is the first time in the history of the podcast that we've been doing it remotely. So this is Rich speaking to you right now. I'm in my home office in Baltimore, Maryland, and Dave is out in some undisclosed location. I'll just tell you, he's in the mountain time zone. And I think maybe through all those mountains and the fog and the snow and the rain and the sunshine, let's see if we can hear him. Dave, are you there?
I am here. Can you see my green screen? I green screened the mountains in the background here. Oh, it's audio only. Oh, darn.
It looks good, though. I can see it. It looks really nice.
I have to admit, Rich, I was trying to be quiet during the intro and let you do the intro. But when you give us a 5-star honest review, it just hit me as funny.
Is there other kind of review?
That's right. Well, we deserve it. This is the best podcast in dentistry. There's no question about it.
Or so we've been told.
Exactly.
There are a lot of podcasts in dentistry. Some are really good. I mean, we listen to other people's podcasts. Some of them, you just wonder why people think they should be doing a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a lot of great ways to get information out there. We've really enjoyed the podcasting and your fantastic comments. So, hey, what do you say, man? What's going on today?
I'll tell you something, Rich. I'm feeling great, ready for a fantastic episode. How are you doing there? Are you good?
Doing good. Loving life in downtown Baltimore. I'm overlooking the beautiful harbor. They're not dragging any bodies out today, so it's a good day.
Oh, my God. Okay, hopefully they won't be anytime today or anytime in the near future.
You know, it's funny. One of the things we've really enjoyed, we've been, you know, writing, publishing, teaching for so many years, and when we do our emails, we get nice replies. It seems like we just started getting comments to the podcast, so keep it up. We really love hearing your opinions. If there's something you like, something you don't like, if you want to ask a question, make a comment, please feel free to write in. But I can never remember if the email address is podcast or podcasts@maddow.com. But I think it's singular, podcast.
Yes.
Is that correct?
It is. And I'll tell you something, Rich. Every episode we talk about having Sylvia fix the thing, so either of them will work. But I think we haven't done it yet.
Okay, well... We've got too many other things to do here in podcast land. So, Sylvia, if you're listening,
if you're
listening, Sylvia, make it so podcast@maddow.com or podcasts@maddow.com come to our direct inbox, not some bogus inbox, but our direct inbox.
No, can't be bogus. Can never be bogus. And before we start, we got a great question here. I'm gonna share it in a second, but I gotta tell you, I don't know if you've ever done this. I'm working on like a blend. I made this dark coffee this morning, very dark roast coffee, but I added a tiny bit of French vanilla to the mix as well. It is just awesome. I'm just feeling great.
Well, I am not a flavored coffee guy. I like my coffee hot and black. Straight up, no cream, no sugar, no flavor. But I gotta tell you, since you brought up coffee, I gotta tell you, our coffee maker, we've had the same Cuisinart coffee maker for about 10 years. Candy and I got it when we moved downtown, so we've had it for 10 years. It finally gave up the ghost, as they say. And we got
it. Went up?
It went up, as they say in Baltimore. Our coffee maker went up. So we got this Ninja coffee maker. Ninja's known for making like juicers and juice extractors. I don't know if you're familiar with that brand.
Right.
So we got this Ninja coffee maker, and it is fantastic, and the coffee is strong. And most of all, it's really hot. Don't you like it hot, like so it almost burns your mouth?
Oh, That's the only way to, yeah. And I like, and like you said, I like it black too, but hot, of course. Rich, I'm going to write this down because I might end up getting one of those, and maybe we can set up an affiliate link so any of our listeners can get this Ninja coffee maker. We can make a few pennies per coffee maker.
Now that's a great idea. The coffee maker that pays for itself.
Yeah, let's get into the question because we have a good one. Rich, we're going to want to talk about this one for a few minutes.
Let it rock, man. I know you've got it all primed and ready to go. So let's do it.
So here is the question from a doctor. And I will tell you, we're going to keep this doctor's name anonymous as he requested it for obvious reasons. You'll see as we ask this question. But here's what he says. He says, I have a young dentist just out of residency working with us. His skills are good, but he has no treatment planning skills. He's also 300.
Cracking up already. Like he's a good dentist. He has no treatment planning skills. None.
His skills are good, but he has no treatment planning skills.
So in other words, his clinical skills are good.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant by that. He's also $300,000 in debt, and he needs money. In parentheses, he has three young kids. I like the fact that it's in parentheses. I feel he is doing treatment just to generate income, such as crowns instead of fillings, etc. He wanted to do an extraction last Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. on a 92-year-old woman. She was not in pain. He just wanted to produce. I stopped him. I found out today she is taking Prolia, which could have caused a real problem at her age. What do you think? Name withheld, keeping it confidential.
Wow.
That's what I mean, what can we say about that? There's so many routes we could take on answering this question. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, it's kind of a modern take on the age-old question in dentistry. You know, we're here to make a living. We deserve to make a living. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money if you do it ethically and if you treat your patients correctly and do the right treatment. So this guy's got a kind of a double dilemma because he's under a lot of financial pressure, but is a poor treatment planner, maybe a poor diagnostician. And it sounds like maybe a little bit lacking in ethics, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. From what it sounds, yes, yeah. Yes. And look, like this problem has always been around, even before this tremendous student debt crisis. Back in our day when people didn't have this kind of student debt, for paying for dental school and practices and whatever, there were other reasons people were overproducing. And we, Rich, you and I saw it all the time. You know, I'd like to think we didn't do it, but I guess there are always going to be people that just want to produce and be unethical and make more and more and more money. And that's, in my mind, it's just not cool. I think you have to look at the patient as like, kind of, suppose this was you or somebody in your family, how would you want to be treated? I think you always have to look at it like that.
I don't understand a little dichotomy in this question because it sounds like this associate has poor treatment planning skills, yet they're always trying to get patients to do unnecessary treatment. It seems like that the kind of person that does that would be like a real slickster that could talk anybody into anything. So the whole thing is just bizarre.
It's a mess. But what do you do if you've got this again, like I said, this can go in so many directions because as I've talked about in previous episodes, this student debt crisis thing, for especially for dentists, just really, really worries me. I mean, Rich, we spoke to somebody. We were speaking in a city, which we don't have to name the city, just a week ago, and we spoke to a dental student there who he's in his fourth year of dental school and he already has $600,000 of student debt. Where does he go from here?
Well, that's another story altogether. I remember that guy, super nice guy. He's a D4, as they call them. He also didn't like doing crowns and was under pressure from his father, who thinks his rich dentist son is going to support him when he graduates. What a disaster.
It's a huge problem. But I think – so my point is a lot of these docs who are accumulating massive debt, they're in trouble because – what can they do? That's why I think that's why there is going to be there already is, and there's going to be a lot more overtreating to see if to get out of this debt sooner rather than later. But it's horrible.
Okay, so what can they do? Well, first of all, what can't they do? They cannot get unethical. You cannot intentionally overtreat a patient just because you're under financial pressure. So let's start with that. But secondly, I think it was interesting that the writer of this question remarked on this associate dentist's poor treatment planning skills because, it seems like if the practice is fairly busy, and they must be fairly busy if they hired an associate. There's enough ethical dental treatment to be done that this dentist should be able to make a good living, don't you think?
Yeah, but maybe in this doc's mind, maybe not fast enough. Like, he's got three kids, $300,000 in debt. Maybe he just feels, I need money. And I'm, you know, it just seems like a lot of people these days, especially, want things sooner rather than later. They're not willing to do the right thing and let take a little bit of time. They want it to happen like now or yesterday. That's a problem.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this exact situation. The letter was written by an experienced dentist, I'm assuming, who's been around. Mm-hmm. Actually, yes. You withheld the name, but I know this dentist, and so do you. At least enough to say that this person's an experienced dentist with great skills that he's honed over many years. Agree?
And ethical.
Right, ethical. So why doesn't the dentist become a mentor of sorts and work with this young dentist on their treatment planning skills and work with them on their diagnostic skills so they can diagnose optimum treatment, which, let's face it, many times the right treatment for the patient is the most expensive treatment. And if it's the right treatment, then that's great. And work on them to diagnose proper treatment and present it properly and carefully to the patient. It's a long-term plan. It won't put money in your pocket tomorrow, which is why this dentist must be so anxious. But long-term, it will be good for the dentist, good for the practice, good for everyone.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I don't know of another answer. Well, again, we can get back to the root of the problem, and let's take care of these student loans, which I think are just crazy. But it's too late for this guy. I, if I were him, I would not get into any more debt. I wouldn't go out and buy a house now. I wouldn't buy into a practice. I wouldn't incur more debt. I would work on his treatment planning skills, be the best dentist you can, and start chipping away at this $300,000 in debt. And I think maybe he'll start to feel better about himself.
You kind of are starting to peel open a can of worms there, because one of the things you'd have to ask is, okay, this dentist has three kids. Do the husband and wife think that they deserve the dentist lifestyle? Are they sending the kids to private school and buying them shirts with little horses on them and, living in an expensive house? Are they doing all those things? Well, geez, that's going to multiply the financial pressure.
Yep, I would agree. I think you need to live a life way, way, way. I don't care how many kids you have. Live a life way below your means till you chip away at this debt and then never live the doctor lifestyle. Just live a regular life.
And I think it's also really important, when we're talking about treatment planning skills, the patients, whether consciously or subconsciously, can see the financial pressure that this doctor's under, and it just kind of comes out of your pores, and they're trying to talk somebody into something. It just is a horrible short and long-term plan. So I think this young dentist needs to work on ethically building up the trust of the patient, becoming their trusted advisor, discussing their treatment needs, maybe giving them options, and just being totally honest. And I like your approach too. Do the treatment that you would recommend on your family member and tell the patient that's what you would do on your family member. Be honest about it. And that's the way that you can hone your skills. But it's not going to happen overnight. None of us knew what we were doing when we first got out of school. It's just natural law.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Rich. Sometimes the answers are really just the simplest answers. And the simplest answer here is just do the right thing. Just do it right. Treat people like you, like they're you or like they're somebody in your family. And it's really not that much more complex than that. But yeah, hone your skills, of course, and do it right. Don't rip people off.
Yeah, it's never. Listen to Spike Lee. Do the right thing. It's funny, Dave. When we had our practices, as many of you listeners know, Dave and I both had really nice practices, but we never practiced together. But at one time, we were using the same consultant or consultancy, as they might say in the UK. And this company, part of their teaching was, anytime a patient has a somewhat large restoration, two or three surface amalgam or composite, treatment plan them for a crown. And that's just not right. In the short term, yeah, you might get a few more bucks in your pocket, but that stuff just comes back to haunt you.
Well, I think the most ironic thing from that philosophy, Rich, is that these people that were teaching us this or sharing this great knowledge with us were not dentists. They were business people who were like pretty much telling dentists when to do crowns. That was the most ironic thing. That was weird.
That's how That's another can of worms. The dental consultants who never owned or worked in a dental practice, how are they teaching you how to diagnose and treatment plan?
Yeah, I mean, a consultant that does not have a dental degree is telling a dentist when to do a crown. I mean, that just does not make any sense at all.
It's actually unbelievable.
We never really talked about it at that level, but think about that. It's true.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I hope this really helps you. Take this guy aside and help him out, because maybe he's got potential, but I don't know. I've got kind of bad feelings about it.
I do too. I have bad feelings too, and I don't think it's going to be fine right away. I think it's a long-term project. And again, if you were this doctor, Dave, would you consider, if things don't shape up quickly, getting rid of this person? Because this person can bring your whole practice down. Getting 100%. Some horrible reviews on Yelp, and just, you don't want that.
100%. I'm going to go back to a word that you used earlier in the answer of the question. He sounds like he might be a slickster, and that's the last thing I would want in my practice. Some slick guy who's known in the community for over-treating. It's going to, with Facebook and all these groups these days, the word's going to get out so quickly. I'd be very, very careful.
It's funny. Patients think, a lot of patients think you're over-treating even when you're not over-treating.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Too much. All right, hey, let's move on and get to our call of the day. But before we do that, just a couple quick, really cool announcements for all our listeners. Dave, you want to go first here?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So one thing I wanted to share with you is that Rich and I have been doing these master classes, and they have been some of the most one of the coolest things we've done in our 30 years of helping dentists reach success. We get about somewhere, but we keep it very small, eight to 10 docs in a room. We've been doing them mainly in Baltimore. Sometimes we may choose another city, but we invite you to come attend a masterclass. And the main reason we're doing these masterclasses, we want to share with you along with, and we have our coaching staff there and our Matto Center staff. We want to share with you how we can help you become more successful, happier, and just have a greater life in dentistry than you are right now through our coaching. And it's the reason we do a masterclass is just simply because in an email or in a phone call, we just can't really maybe share or the detail or how great this relationship can be. So we bring you in, spend a full day with you and maybe about 8 to 10 like-minded docs. And in one day, we just share with you how we can work with you and how we can help your practice. So the best way to check it out, and by the way, these are free. We don't charge, but you have to at least have an interest in becoming more successful through coaching. The best way to find out where our next masterclass or master classes will be is go to masterclass.matto.com. We would love to share the day with you. So come see us.
Fantastic. We've also been getting great comments from people who are using Fat Merchant for their credit card processing. Fat Merchant is the disruptor in credit card processing. They do not charge you an overage percentage. It's just a low, flat monthly fee. And they've got great technology and dashboards so you can see exactly what's going on with your credit card charges and patients and all those things. But the main thing you need to know is it's a seamless switch. Use Fat Merchant. You'll save money every month. And then, hey, something else will pay for itself, maybe even this podcast. So so check them out. Of course, we established a special deal for our podcast listeners and for Matto members. They'll give you your terminal for free. So there's no expense in doing the switch. They'll do the whole thing for you. Your patients just hand charge cards to you like usual, and you save money. So we've set up a special website so you can learn more about it. It's bit.ly/FatMatto, but fat is with two T's. And it's a bit.ly, if you're familiar with that. So there's no www or HTTP or anything like that. So I'll just spell it out for you. It's bit.ly/FATTMADOW. Check out Fat Merchant. You will definitely be glad you did, and you'll save some money.
Fantastic. Rich, you ready to do the call of the day?
Let's do the call of the day. I am excited.
Okay.
Here it is.
Dr. Spelling? Yes, hi. How much would it cost for a good teeth clean? And
so you won't need the exam in X-ray in order to get a cleaning, and that'll be $161. Yes, that includes the exam, the X-rays, and the cleaning.
Okay, great. And one more question. If I want to have my teeth really nice and clean for a wedding I got coming up, is it more important to have a cleaning or like a whitening procedure?
So we do whitening here in the office. We do have a special going on for $175, which you get your tray and two syringes, and then they're reusable. But usually the hygienist recommends you to whiten after a cleaning.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense. So doing both of them, maybe doing both of them is best, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for the information.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. Bye. Bye.
Oh, my God. I mean, could there have been a better setup for this one? I mean, okay, so the caller said, I was the caller, obviously, but said, okay, I want my teeth really white. I need a cleaning. I'm going to a wedding. I'm going to a wedding. I want nice teeth. And I mean, she didn't do anything. She gave a couple fees, but she certainly didn't go beyond that whatsoever. Could there have been a better setup?
It was a great setup. I mean, I think somebody really good would have had the entire wedding party in there for whitening. But
exactly. I mean, that's a really good point. Yeah. But at least the caller. I mean, you know. I mean, okay, she could have said something like, "Oh, you're going to a wedding. Let's get you in and make sure your teeth look really good. You're going to be in pictures. You want to look great."
Exactly.
That was like such a great opportunity. She did not take the bait at all.
Well, let's go back. Let's back up a little bit, because this is something that we teach in our courses a lot, that we get asked a lot. And that is, when you asked how much is a cleaning, she just gave a number. She said 161 or something like that.
Right. Something like that. Yeah. Right.
You know, that's kind of a loser right there. Sometimes if people push, you have to give a fee. But as we teach in our courses too, this is time for the person on the phone to take control of the call by saying something like, "Oh, you're interested in a cleaning. It sounds like you're looking for a new dentist. Is that true?" And then take that opportunity to tell them how great your practice is and tell them that, you know, there are different types of cleanings and the best thing to do is to come in for a full checkup and, you know, meet the doctor. They'll even do a free consultation, whatever it is, instead of just saying 161. And again, we hate answering insurance questions, but let's face it, if you have good insurance, the cleaning is free. So it's such a loaded question that she could have gotten around by saying, "Oh, it sounds like you're looking for a new dentist. Come on in. You meet everybody, blah, blah, blah." Just anything but just saying 161 and then nothing. And then she left it to you to ask the next question, which she got even worse on, right?
Yeah. And see, now, if I would have been her, I would have used the wedding a little bit more. I would have said something like, "Oh, that's great. When's the wedding?" And if the wedding were in 2 weeks, you know, that's a little bit more of an issue. But if the wedding were like a month or two, we've got some time. Let's get an appointment, get you in. Let's check everything over. Let's make sure your teeth are beautiful for this wedding and that you're going to look great in the pictures. I would have really gone with that one. But she really did nothing. And the scariest thing, Rich, is we see almost every time some poor doctor that owns that practice thinks that his front desk person is doing a great job.
And let's take it a step further. She knows nothing about you. I mean, you could be
right.
You could be the groom. You could be the best man. You could be
right,
whatever.
Right.
But take it even further. You could have really, you know, you could have ugly composites hanging out of your anterior teeth, or you know, bad shade. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. You could be a candidate for 8 veneers. I mean, and you know, if the wedding's in a month, they could complete a multi-$1,000 case that you've been looking for, and this is the thing that pushes you over the edge because you have a wedding coming up. Who knows what could have happened with this great patient?
Bingo. That's it.
She just
exactly
did not.
Right.
She never, ever, ever asked for the appointment. She never made you feel welcome. And as you said, you know, it's always good to have a little chit-chat, good conversation. You gave her such great bait saying that there's a wedding coming up. She just wouldn't take it.
Would you say she muffed it?
She muffed it. A total muff job.
I'm giving her an F, man.
I'll give her an F+.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. This was episode 4 of the Dental Practice Fixers. We will see you next time. Thanks so much for being a listener and a friend.
Goodbye.